This is a scripture reading found in Luke chapter 23, verses 26 to 27 and 32 to 43. And this is how it reads. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Verse 32, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, for he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord.
各位兄弟姐妹早晨。 Morning, everyone. 你好? 我好, too. I don't know, that was Chinese, English, and Mandarin all in one. As I begin my message this morning, I do want to say that I also have reflected on the meaning of this message in a very deep and personal way, even before I give it. And so I am not giving this message to you as such as I'm giving this message to all of us today. As I reflect on Good Friday, as I reflect on the meaning of the cross, why Jesus came, what he taught, how he lived his life, why he died, and even the example from his own life. And one word keeps on coming to my mind over and over again. That one word is the word forgiveness, Yusu. Forgiveness. I want to just for a moment, why don't you just turn to the person next to you and describe to the person what this word means to you. Just spend a few moments doing that. Will you turn to the person? What does this word, forgiveness, Yusu, mean to you? Just go ahead, please. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times that we need to forgive people, don't we? Times when they've wronged us. Did you know that every time you get into your car, there's a potential for you to wrong others and for others to wrong you? Have you experienced that before? I don't know what it is about people and cars and their driving habits. The way that we park or take other people's parking spots. You know, I recently saw a post on YouTube where someone got out of their car, they stood in the empty parking spot, and they waited for over a few minutes for their friend to come, and they wouldn't let others park in that empty parking spot. They just stood there, and they just shoo people away. Go away. No, go away. Unbelievable. And it wasn't even in China where that happened. Now, I mean, I could believe it if it happened in China, right? Nothing surprises me what happens there. So I hope, dear brothers and sisters of Fraser Lands Church, that as your senior pastor, I will not hear stories of our people standing in parking spots in our parking garage on Sunday morning, especially 11 o'clock, because that's a prime time, shooing people away. Don't do that. I don't want to hear that. But in all seriousness, there are times when it's hard to forgive people, isn't there? What about when people take credit for our ideas and they get promoted, they get praised as a result of that? Or what about when people treat us unfairly and we feel attacked? We feel falsely accused. What about when people wrong us intentionally and they betray us or say bad things about us and they hurt the people that we love? You see, as Christians, we don't lose our emotions nor our feelings when we receive Christ into our lives. We're still human and we react to various situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. But our emotions are to be purified. We're to submit them to the Lord. We submit our anger. We submit our hurt. We submit our pain to God. About 10 years ago, I had gone through some things in my life that took me quite a while to get over. I had been deeply hurt by some people in the church community. And I was having a hard time dealing with the pain and letting go of the hurt that they had caused me. I remember the pain was so real. It was so real. It was so deep. It was as if a knife had been thrusted into my heart from the back. It was that painful. It was that devastating to me. And no matter how hard I tried, in a physical sense, I could not remove the pain. I could not remove the hurt or the anger that was thrusted into me. I carried this wound with me for months, maybe even for about half a year. I carried this with me. And it wasn't until I had gone to this pastor's retreat that year that I heard a speaker talk about some of the pains, some of the sorrows in his own life, and how it affected him until he was able to deal with it, to surrender them to the Lord, and to receive his healing. Anyways, I'll come back to this story a bit later. You see, Max Lucado, a Christian author, says this: there are basically three ways that we can deal with unresolved issues, that we can deal with conflict or people who've hurt us in life. We can fight, or we can forgive. First, we can flee. We can flee or leave a relationship. We can leave a friendship, a marriage, a family, or even a church, instead of facing the issues and dealing with them. Second, we can fight. And some of us may find ourselves in this situation. Now, you've heard the phrase, I don't get mad, I just get even. Now, we give back to others a taste of what they did to us. We take matters into our own hands. We exact revenge. Or third, we can simply forgive. King David says in Psalm 103, he, that is God, does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So on Good Friday, what are some things that we can learn from the cross? What are lessons that are learned from the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? First, God's forgiveness of our sins. You know, our God is indeed a forgiving God, but the Bible never says that our God forgets our sins. You see, how could a God who knows everything forget anything? Instead, the Bible says he has not counted our sins against us. That is, he's chosen not to remember them against us, not to bring them back up again, never to accuse us or condemn us of our sins. You know, when I think about God's forgiveness, when I think about how he has forgiven me, when I think about the most incredible words that Jesus had ever spoken, some of his most compelling words were the ones he uttered shortly before his death. You see, after being betrayed by one of his own disciples, having shown him nothing but love all this time, after being unfairly arrested and tried, after being abandoned by those closest to him, after being mocked and harassed by the crowd, after being spit on and made fun of, after being beaten countlessly and flogged mercilessly until his flesh was ripped out from him, after being nailed physically to the cross and left there to die, and Jesus said these amazing words, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Imagine these words as they come out of the mouth, as they come out of the heart of our Savior. Jesus spoke only a few times from the cross, but some of the very first words he uttered were not words of revenge. They were not words of hatred or bitterness or retaliation against his enemies. He never said, "I will get you, you just wait." You see, that's why forgiveness has the word "give" in it. Forgiveness is not about getting even. It is giving away the right to get even. The words Jesus spoke from the cross were a prayer of forgiveness. It was a prayer of forgiveness. "Father, forgive them," he prayed. Jesus asked his Father to forgive his critics. He asked his Father to forgive his tormentors, his friends, his enemies, and yes, even his killers. You see, while he was dying on the cross, Jesus offered us mercy and forgiveness even before we asked for it. Jesus showed us through his life and through his death what it means to love others, what it means to forgive others. Oh, but you may say, "I could never do that. The hurt is just too deep. The wounds are just too numerous. Just seeing the other person makes me cringe. It makes me want to walk the other way. God cannot be asking me to forgive him, to forgive her. Look at what he's doing." Perhaps that's our problem. We're seeing too much of the other person and not enough of Jesus. We're replaying too much of the wrong that they've done to us. You see, the secret for us is to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. If we fix our eyes on him and away from the person who hurt us, we can begin to forgive others like Jesus did. What can we learn from the cross? First, God's forgiveness of our sins. And then second, our forgiveness of others' sins. Because Jesus has forgiven us, we can forgive others. Because he has extended mercy to us, we can extend mercy to others. Because he's offered us unconditional grace, we can offer unconditional grace to others. Because Jesus has a forgiving heart, we can have a forgiving heart. But what does this merely mean anyways, to have a forgiving heart? Well, it means to wash away people's unkindness of us with kindness. like Jesus did. The Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Ephesus and said this, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." But you say, "I've done nothing wrong. I'm not the one who caused it. It was his words. It was her attitude towards me. Besides, he hasn't asked for my forgiveness or said sorry and doesn't think that he's done anything wrong." In the harsh and angry world that we live in, I can see why our culture would be drawn to stories like the one in Charleston, South Carolina, on June 17, 2015. For it was on this summer evening that Dylan Roof, a 21-year-old self-proclaimed white supremacist, walked into Emmanuel Church, attended a Bible study and a prayer meeting for about an hour, and then began shooting and killing 9 black worshipers, including 4 pastors, one of which was not only the senior pastor of the church, but was also a state senator. Roof, the person who killed these people, reportedly told investigators that he almost didn't go through with it because members of the church study group had been so nice to him. At the hearing that followed, just 2 days afterwards, 5 of the victim's relatives spoke to Roof directly through video conferencing, saying that they were praying for his soul and they forgave him. This is such amazing grace. Not just from those relatives, but also from the whole church community who forgave. You see, Jesus' example of forgiveness throughout his ministry and when he hung on the cross is that the burden of reconciliation falls on the stronger one, not on the weaker one. The one who's innocent is the one who makes the gesture to forgive. Max Lucado said this, "Relationships are not mended because the guilty are punished. Relationships are mended when the innocent are merciful." Paul reminds us in Colossians 3:13, "Be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." It's not an option. The Bible says we must forgive others, and we're to never hold grudges. Now, God asks us, in a sense, to make an allowance for each other's faults. To make an allowance for each other's faults. To forgive implies a continual forgiveness of the problems, the irritations, the grievances that occur in our lives and even in our church. Now, the key to forgiving others is to remember just how much our Lord has forgiven us. And to realize the consequences in refusing to forgive someone whom God has already forgiven. And Jesus taught us to pray this, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Martin Luther, the great church reformer of the 16th century, took this to mean that there's a one-to-one correlation between us forgiving others and us being forgiven by God. Such that he argued, if I do not forgive others, I'm actually praying, "Father, do not forgive me." Is there someone that you have hurt? Is there someone that has hurt you or someone that you care for and love deeply? Is there someone that you find hard to forgive? Is there someone that you just cannot forgive? It could be your parents, your mom or your dad. It could be your spouse. It could be your siblings, your brothers and sisters. It could be your children. It could be your colleague. It could be a church member. It could be a pastor or an elder or even God. Forgiving those who've sinned against us is not easy. The pain is real. It is hard work. It is costly work. It is painful work. But it is the work that God has instructed us to do. Jesus said this, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you." The Greek word for love, agape, here means to show love even when the person does not deserve our love. But we choose to love. The word to bless means to invoke a blessing upon the person. To pray for the good and for the happiness of that person. Oh, we may say we have forgiven. But have we really? Have we really? Have we loved them? Have we done good to them? Have we blessed them? And have we prayed for them? Or have we criticized them? Have we resented them? Have we talked about them behind their backs? And have we withheld our love from them? Someone once said this, "We're never more like Jesus than when we forgive. We're never more like our Lord than when we forgive." So to finish the story that I was sharing with you from the very beginning, no matter how hard I tried, I just could not remove the pain. I could not remove the hurt or the anger that had been thrusted into me like a knife to my back. But when I went to this pastor's conference, this retreat, I felt the Lord urging me to hand over my pain to Him, to hand over my wounds, to hand over all my sorrows to Him, and to begin to love, to begin to do good, to begin to bless, and to begin to pray for those who had mistreated me. And as I did this, and as I asked others to pray for me and over me time and time again, after a while, I felt that my heart began to soften towards those who had wronged me. And as my heart softened, the Lord began to pull out that knife that had been thrusted into me and lodged into my heart. Because of the unforgiveness I harbored in my soul for those who had hurt me deeply. And so as we approach God's throne of mercy and grace this morning, as we come to the foot of the cross, as we eat and drink from the Lord's table, as a community of forgiven people, let us take a moment to examine ourselves before God. Let us remember His great sacrifice for us and for our sins, having His body given, having His blood shed, so that we can be forgiven and made right before God. Let us take a moment also to forgive those who have wronged us And let us remember the words of our Lord from the cross when he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And as you do so, I'd like to ask you to take out this black piece of paper that's in your program this morning. Now, I noticed some of you probably dropped it on your way in. I saw your sins everywhere on the floor. But that's okay. Our ushers are at the back. And if you don't have a piece of black paper with you, or you didn't pick a program, just raise your hand where you're at now. Just raise your hand so that they can come to you. And if you need a pen as well, they have a pen to offer to you. With this black piece of paper, I'd like you to write on it on both sides. On one side, write on this black piece of paper what you would like God to forgive you of. What you would like God to forgive you of. And then on the back side, or just below that as well is fine, if you can write on it what you would like to forgive others of. There's something you need to forgive someone else of. Write that down as well. And if the Lord brings something to mind or someone to mind, just write their name on the piece of paper. I mean, that's okay. You can't really see what you write, right? You know that. Unless you have a fluorescent marker or whatever. So write what you'd like the Lord to forgive you of, and also write what you'd like to forgive someone else of. And if the Lord brings to mind a name, put that person's name down. I'll just give you a few moments to do that. Scripture says this, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, we confess the sinfulness, the behaviors, the attitudes, the thoughts, the actions that we committed against you and against one another. Lord, we are sorry. Please forgive us. Cleanse us of our past sins. Cleanse us of our past pain. Cleanse us of our harboring of grudges and grievances. Sanctify us, O Lord God, by your blood. Purify us with your love. Wash us as white as snow. Release us, O Lord, from our past and the sins of our past. We pray for your divine healing. We pray for your wholeness to come into our lives and into our families, into our church, into our congregations, into our leaders, our pastors, our elders, both now and even in the past. Lord God, we submit these to you as well. We pray as you pray. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. We confess, O Lord, that these words are naive and foolishness to our worldly wisdom, our worldly understanding. And these words seem so unfair. They seem so unjust to those of us who've been wronged. But we look to you, Lord. We fix our eyes on Jesus and ask for the strength, the courage, the ability to forgive. Father, by your grace and in obedience to you, we choose to forgive. We choose to release the people who've sinned against us, to forgive them of their wrongdoing, and to let go of the pain that they've caused us. Free us, O Lord, from the bondage of bitterness. Heal our damaged emotions as we leave the sins of others fully at the cross, at the foot of the cross.
Lord, forgive us as your people. Forgive us as your church, we pray. Lord, we desire your holy presence. We desire your holiness to fall in this place. So come, Holy Spirit. Come and renew a steadfast spirit within us. And restore to us the joy of your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." As we enter into the time of communion, I'd like to ask our communion servers and to come forward, and also for the prayer ministry team to take their place as well. Just a moment after our worship team have had a chance to come forward first, I'd like to also invite the rest of you to come forward at that time to participate in the bread and the cup. I'd like to ask to see if we could do it in this way. For those who are sitting on this side, especially those in this aisle, in this section, if you can move towards that aisle and go towards the back, across the room, and come down through the center aisle. And for these people, if you could go use this aisle to go to the back and go down the center aisle. I know those of you sitting right here are going to be tempted to go right here. But if you can kind of go this way, to the back, around, come down the aisle, put your black piece of paper on the cross, and then move to the next station to receive the bread and the cup, that would be great. If after you've received the bread and the cup, you sense God has laid a burden in your heart, and you don't know what to do with it, and you want someone to pray over you, to pray for you, like those who prayed over me when I had my issues 10 years ago. If you would like someone to pray for you over something in your life, someone to forgive, the strength to get through whatever you're going through, there are prayer ministry teams, people on that far back corner, as well as that corner. They have the name tag prayer ministry on it, so you can approach them for prayer after you receive communion. Don't leave after you finish communion. We still have a few more songs to sing in worship of our Lord before we dismiss today. Oh, dear God, as we come to this time, we want to invite your Holy Spirit into our midst in a very real way, in a very intimate way, in a very personal and convicting way, O Lord God. As we approach the cross this morning, as we come to the cross, O Lord Jesus, may we have a profound knowledge of your great and abundant love for each one of us. You were on the cross because of your love. You died for us because you knew there's no other way around our sins except through your sacrifice. And so even as we place the piece of paper on the cross, may we know, Lord Jesus, it was bought at a great price. But at the same time, we know that that act of your death on the cross freed us and forgave us once and for all. And in our act of putting our sins on the cross when we come forward, we are receiving your forgiveness for us into our lives in a personal way that we can leave it behind and leave it with you, O God. So forgive us of the sins that we bring before you in just a moment. Forgive us of the people that we've harbored something against. Help us to release them, O Lord God, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord God, we come to you now, grateful and thankful that we've been invited to the cross. And not only that, we've been invited to participate in the bread and the cup, to remember your death, your body that was given for us on the cross, to remember the blood that was shed for us, so that we do not have to go through the same thing you went through. Give us these opportunities to reflect, to remember, and to glorify you in this process of taking the bread and cup together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. So first I want to invite the worship team to come and to have communion first. And after that, as they play music, as they start the songs, you can feel free to come and to move to your aisles and come forward at that time as well.